please enter with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter to trouble started with an act of obedience. There, at the end of the story, they're in the ship, of course, they're in the waves, and Peter's, you know, walked on water and began to sink, and he's in trouble, they're afraid, they're seeing, you know, spirits. It's, you know, long before Ghostbusters, they were seeing spirits, right? And so, but this journey started with the path of obedience. Christ told them, get into this ship, get in the water, and you go that way. Sometimes if we're not careful, I'll have the mindset of, if I'm following God and I'm following His instructions, my life is going to be laid out just like it's supposed to be. And everything's going to be fine. It's all going to be, you know. For them to get into a ship and sail on the water, most of them were fishermen. This was old hat. Okay, we got this. Not a big deal. We've been on the water. We know how to handle a ship. We know how to handle a boat. We know how to handle an oar. It's fine. Little did they know what was going to lie ahead. So their troubles, their path of trouble, to trouble rather, started with an act of obedience. They were where they were supposed to be, doing what they were supposed to be doing. And here comes all the turmoil. I thought this was of God. God, I thought you called me to this. I thought I was supposed to marry that person. Now all of a sudden there's problems. Right, Patty? He's looking at her all over. Lord, I thought this was what you wanted me to do. And so if it was, why all of a sudden now am I having to deal with all the problems? Why am I having to deal with all the stuff of following and doing exactly what you told me to do, when you told me to do it, where I'm supposed to be? It's not supposed to be like this. But there they were. Verse number 23, we find that when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. It's okay. Have you ever just needed a break from the people that you follow God with? Come on now. Look at the person beside you, in front of you, behind you. Those are the people you're following God with, right? And sometimes we just need a break from those that we follow God with. And Susie, I'm sorry, you're a sweet lady, but sometimes we just need a break. In 6 days between Sundays, poor Jeff doesn't get 6 days. He lives in the lion's den, doesn't he? But Jesus sent the multitude away, those that were yearning for him, wanting to see something, and then his own followers, he sent them this away. He sent them to the water, sea level, or lower. He goes to the mountain. I need some time away. You know what? It is okay. It's okay. Sometimes we need to be alone. Sometimes we need a break from the people that strengthen us and encourage us. You ever been just encouraged but maybe a little too much? You need a break from the encouragement. Well, it's not the message. But Jesus is here, and he's on the mountain, they're down here, and they've just encountered the storm, they're rowing, they're battling, they're struggling, and he's up there enjoying some solitude, enjoying some quiet time with him and his Father, and that's what he wants. And they're down here, and they're in trouble. And from the disciples' perspective, Jesus, of course, is nowhere around. The last thing they heard from him was, you get in the ship, you go before me, I'll be right behind you. I'm headed that way. And then Jesus, of course, sends him away, he goes to pray. From the disciples' perspective, where's Jesus? He's not following us. We are all alone. And we're in trouble. They were fishermen. They were mariners. They knew what to do. They knew how to handle the ship. But it did not make the waves any less ferocious than what they were. But just because Jesus seems or feels this, that he saw them toiling and rowing. And so just because Jesus seemed far away, he was nearer to them than what they thought. While they could not see him, he was on the mountain, they were down here, he had an idea, he was watching them. He was watching them struggle. It's okay. You know how children learn to walk? They struggle a little bit. They fall down. They learn to hang on to things and let go, and then boom. They learn to cry. They learn. The ministry of God is not to bail us out when we get in trouble. The ministry of God is not to make our path easy. The ministry of God is not to rescue us from the turmoil or the toil. So God is here, Christ is there, he's watching them grow, and while from their perspective, Jesus is nowhere around, from his perspective, he's right there. He is right there. So they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Jesus is not seen very close to them, he's not seen near, but his presence is actually closer to them than they realize. In verse number 24, the very ship he put them in is now being thrown around by the very wind and waves he created. Verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. Just because God made it does not mean it's not going to be contrary. Without going too personal in our relationships, if you're married, you understand that the thing that God set up, the home, the marriage that God set up, can from time to time be contrary. He has his way. She has her way. He just follows along, right? But no. He has his way of seeing things. She has her way of seeing things. He has his baggage. She has her baggage. And he has his mindset. She has her mindset. And those two worlds collide. There's going to be turmoil. There's going to be some unsettled nature. But it's okay. That's the unit God set up. Adam and Eve still had problems, didn't they? And Adam didn't have a mother-in-law. Right? So maybe mom-in-law isn't the problem.
Why did he get out of it?
Well, he has some other things he had to deal with, but they were on two different paths from the get-go, and they were perfect. And they still, when she ate that fruit, he was right there with her. They were perfect, Charlie. They were perfect. They were perfect for each other, right? And they still. And so just because God made it, God established it, God created it, does not mean that it's not going to be contrary. If you have children, you understand that God made that child in the womb, God created that child in his children, it's still contrary. Right? Abigail. Still contrary. Even though they get to be adults, those children are still contrary. Verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. We find here the nearness of Jesus. Verse number 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Their hands were tied to the oars, their backs to the wind. They were taking on water, and here comes one more thing they were not expecting. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus put us in this ship. He set us on this body of water. We're doing what he wants us to do. Our hands are tied to the oars. We're doing the best we can. And here's one more thing. When you think you got it all bad, here comes the ghost walking on the water. I love these men. This is this now? God, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do what you want me to do. We just witnessed a great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. We're in this ship. We're taking on water. The wind is, we're struggling. We think we can got it, but, and now a ghost? God, really? It just seems like when things just are not well, there's always that one more thing. There was that game we used to play as a kid. It's called Don't Spill the Beans. I don't know if you've heard this game, but it's a little cup with a lid and it's on a pivot. And you have to put, you know, beans. It's like the reverse of Jenga, right? So you're putting beans, and so you gotta put beans on this lid, and then the last person, of course, you tip them, you don't spill the beans. It seems like when life is, our plate is full, and we can't handle any more. There's that one more stinking thing. Just, I can't handle this. I can't do this. I just can't. I can't deal. You ever said, I can't deal with this today? Sometimes it's a spouse, or it's a child, or something. It's a something maybe you love doing, or some whatever thing that is. I can't do that today. I just can't. We're rowing, we're tired, these winds, this storm, and it's one, now there's a thing walking on the water. Oh. I don't know, maybe it's a different culture we grew up in. And these were men of the sea, of the ocean, of the water. They no doubt had seen some weird things. There's just something weird in the ocean, right? It's just weird things. I can't imagine who the first disciple was to pipe up and say, I think it's a spirit. Like, who's that guy? I wonder if it's a ghost. Probably one of the guys that wasn't a fisherman, right? It's like, no, it's not a fisherman. But nevertheless, Jesus comes walking to them. I don't know if he was glowing. You know, some of the pictures, the Bible story has him glowing, and there, you know, he's like this light walking on the water. I don't know what he looked like. If it's dark, it's a storm. I don't know how they saw him, but they did. And they suppose it is a spirit. It's, oh no, it's who's the spirit from the Pirates of Davy Jones, right? Here's a spirit. Now we're afraid. Now we're afraid. We're obeying God. We're obeying Jesus. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're where we're supposed to be. Here's all this turmoil. We're taking water, we're working hard, and now we see this thing, and we're afraid. In this case, that extra thing that was just on their plate, that was just that thing that just now we're afraid, was the very thing they were looking for. They just didn't know it. That was him. Sometimes the thing that spills my beans in life, that just, I guess the last thing, now I'm flipping my lid, now I'm going off the deep end, is the very thing I need. And here, I love this word. They're struggling, they're working, they're toiling, and now there's a ghost. Now Christ is coming to them, but they think, oh no, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. These are grown men. Grown men, and they're crying out for fear. I don't know what that would have sounded like. I don't know, but these were fishermen. These were tough guys. These were, and now we're crying like. Fill in the description. You're like Larry, baby, 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 baby. Over a ghost. Talk about this a little bit in Sunday school. Verse number 27. And straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. In this thing of be of good cheer, it wasn't, it's like, oh no, we're afraid, we're crying out in fear. And also Jesus comes by and just says, don't worry. Be happy. It doesn't just make it all go away. And the problems were still there. The turmoil was still there. be of good cheer. What? We're in the fight of our lives. Be of good cheer. His voice, the voice of God, when it's heard, is the antidote for our fear. When it's heard. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I struggle sometimes for the brain. Listening to his voice. I struggle discerning his voice from the noise of everything else. And his voice, though, was that thing that said, God is going to be okay. Really? We're afraid? Be of good cheer? Be happy? Just be happy? Be of good cheer. And then Peter, bless his heart, Peter, verse number 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. If it wasn't Jesus, who did they think it was? It was the spirit of somebody. And Peter starts talking to the thing. If I see a spirit, I want to talk to it. I want to go away. I'm not going to carry on a conversation. So Peter hears, Lord, if it's you, then bid me come unto you on the water. And of course, Jesus does. In verse 29 through 31, then we have the story that we're going to get into. And he said, come. And then Peter, when Peter's come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Of all the criticisms of Peter, Peter walked on the water.
Amen.
I would have been like, but he walked on the water. I don't know how many steps it was, it doesn't matter. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And then as he was going to Jesus, he saw the verse number 30. He saw the wind boisterous and was afraid. He had just been on the ship where the wind was boisterous in there. Right? The waves were contrary while he was in the ship. And he was called down. The waves didn't go away, the wind didn't stop. When the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Back in verse 28, Peter uses the very same question that Satan used during the temptation of Christ. If thou be the Son of God, then do this. Three times. If thou be the Son of God, then command these stones to be repaired. If thou be the Son of God, then cast thyself down. If thou be the Son of God, then do this business. And Peter does the same thing. If you're the Son of God, if you're Christ, then bid me come on the water. It's amazing how closely the script of Satan and the script of Peter was here. And Christ is known to say, get thee behind me, Satan, when talking to Peter. But here he's the same thing. If thou art Christ, then bid me come. And he does. And Peter gets down and begins to walk in the water. And then, of course, the wind is afraid again and whatnot. And verse 31, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand. This is where I'm going to get to. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Here we go. Peter steps out. Peter begins walking. Peter begins sinking. And Peter calls out. Does it ever feel like sometimes in our Christian life, that's kind of the rotation that we are in? God says, do this. And so we step out and we begin walking, okay. And then we begin sinking. And then we begin crying out, God, I need your help. I can't handle this. God says, well, do this, and we take that step, and things go well for a while, and we begin sinking, and then we call out, God helps us out of that. We're following God, and life throws something our way, and something bad happens, and we begin sinking, like, God, I don't understand. I'm afraid. Just afraid. You know what makes the presence of God sweet? My fear. I'm not a McDonald's person. If I never saw McDonald's again, I would be fine. But you know what would make a Big Mac really, really good?
And I'm scared. And I'm worried, and my faith is not, you know, it's still growing, and it's not awesome, and the presence of God is recognized and realized. That's what makes that presence even sweeter than if I'm walking on the water. He was afraid, and he cried out, and Christ was there, and he reached out, and he caught him. So Peter's here, he's stepping out, he's walking, he's sinking. Look back over the course of this story, what happens here is we have some prerequisites to sinking, and it's not all negative. It's not all negative. The prerequisites to sinking, number one, is feeling separated from God. God's not close to me. I don't feel like God is close to me right now. I don't feel his nearness. I'm praying and I'm trying to commune, but it just seems like there's a ceiling and it's made of iron and there's something I'm not getting through. Create that prerequisite to seek. We find that in verse number 28. If it's you, God, I don't know that it is, but if it's you, then bid me come. You go to the water. Another prerequisite to seeking is the unsettled nature, or unsettled by natural or unnatural forces. Unnatural circumstances, it's things in life that throws our way. Then there's some unnatural stuff that kind of unsettles us. It causes us to start sinking. Some very natural things in life that we face. Loss of a job, loss of a relationship, loss of love, loss of friendship. Friendship, losing friendships because of misunderstandings is tough. It is hard. Those things happen. It tends to try to pull us down, right? Things don't go in life as we think they should go, or what have you. Just tends to pull us down. And for these disciples here, it was the natural forces. It was the storm. It was the waves. It was the wind. And then it was the unnatural things. I'm like, oh, now there's a ghost. Great. And they were unsettled. They were like, oh, no, that was a precursor to Peter being where he was and sinking. And it was, God's creation was contrary. We are a room filled with God's creation. People around you are God's creation. Right? And from time to time, God's creation becomes contrary. Jeff, sometimes it's good to get contrary. Sometimes it's not that. Probably better. No, we're God's creation. Do we know better? Yeah. Do we get contrary anyway? Yes. Sometimes God's creation becomes contrary. And that's what makes sometimes the church hurt and church relationships so touchy and kind of like, ugh, I don't know. Because those relationships go bad sometimes and it tends to pull us down. And rightly so. The board doesn't say now what it said 3 years ago, right? And if it hasn't affected us in some way, internally, I think that's a problem. It tends to just suck life out of us, right? It tends to pull us down. Those things happen, and it's tough, it's difficult. That's a prerequisite. That's one thing that happens when God's creation becomes contrary. Not mean that in a condemning or condoning, in a negative way. It just happens. Trouble is a prerequisite to sinking. Fear is a prerequisite to sinking. Questioning God is a prerequisite to sinking. But they were in this ship because they were obedient to God's will. Prerequisite to sinking was his obedience to God. It's hard to understand. And then there was a shift of focus. How easy is it for us to some of the stuff, Nathan, especially Nathan, Nathan will call and say, this is the dumbest thing ever. Why? It doesn't make any sense why they're doing it. It doesn't make any sense. But I don't know. I'm sure there's a bigger picture somewhere. Maybe not. Maybe they are flying by the seat of their pants. Who knows? But it's sometimes there's a shift of focus from the right now to the looking at what's in front of me and not that we'll see what's and that happens in our earth. But here's the message. In the middle of feeling separated from God, in the middle of fear, in the middle of the trouble, in the middle of the shift of focus, in the middle of all the contrary things, Christ was there. And this is the message. The character of God, the nature of God, reaches out. When God had created land and the animals and everything, it was that God spoke all of that into existence, didn't he? But then God took in the thing that he spoke into existence and he reached down and he grabbed the dust of the ground, and from that reach he reached out and formed a man, and then he breathed into him the nostrils in his mouth, the breath of life, man became a living soul. So from creation, God reached down that creation, and throughout that, the life of Israel and that Old Testament, you'll find, especially in the book of Isaiah, there's a common phrase in the book of Isaiah when Israel has just been they're disobedient, they're sacrificing the idols, they're sacrificing their kids. I mean, they're burning their kids alive, for crying out loud. And in the book of Isaiah, a common phrase in that book is, his hand is outstretched still. His hand is outstretched still, time and time and time again. And then when God sent his son to the earth as a baby to pay for the sin of man, he reached his hand to the earth. In the book of Revelation, I'm not going to read every account. In the book of Revelation, you'll find that at the harvest of the seed, at the harvest of the end of the world, is God gathers together his elect from the four corners of the earth. God reaches down and he gathers together his own. God's ministry from the beginning, as far as man is concerned, to the end of time as we know it, God is perpetually reaching. When we feel like we are all alone in the middle of the ocean and God is nowhere around, God's people are aggravating us, his creation is contrary, and we feel lost, we're full of fear, we're seeing ghosts, for crying out loud, God is in the ministry of reaching down to where we are. Lord, if it's you, how would you feel if you went home and your significant other locked the door behind them and you were outside, you knocked on the door, you're standing there, you see those people, who is it? It's Frank. Are you sure? Are you really Frank? Yes! If it's you, to do this little trip, whatever. Right? I mean, I think like, open this door, or we're going to need a new one. Right? Christ just took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed thousands and thousands of people, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftover food. That does not make any mathematical sense whatsoever. Theoretically speaking, each of these disciples still had a basket of food with them. That was something Jesus did. And Peter's like, if it's you, he still reached out for it. You know what I would have done? I want you to drink a little bit of that sea first. I want you just to... There's a vindictive thread in me that just that sometimes comes out. This is me. It's not pretty. It's not pretty. And if I were Jesus, I'd have been like, well, you're going to take on some more water before you really, you're requesting me. But in that moment, he stretched out his hand. The nature of God, the character of God reaches out and has from creation, and in right it will to the end of the world. The second thing is Jesus reached out for the one who asked. The prayer wasn't some long, elaborate prayer. It was, Jesus, help me. Help me. Sometimes my prayers, but the kids give me a hard time. We pray, man, the kids are like, oh, great, Dad's praying tonight. We're going to be for 45 minutes. Dad's praying. Great. We'll get done. They'll say, oh, it's time to wake up. It's time for breakfast. Oh, Dad, you know, all that little sarcasm they get. Sometimes I'll say, oh, I graduated. Man, it's nice. You know, Dad prayed for 3 months. This prayer was just, save me. That's all I can say. And sometimes when I come to God, he doesn't need a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We don't have time for that. We don't have time to build a crescendo to, and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, and roar, it's God, I need your help. I'm sinking. I'm failing. I'm flailing around in the midst of this vast world. I need your help now.
This individual's done. Now I'm about ready to take it out. He reached out for the one who asked. Peter didn't say, before I can ask you for help, God, let me just bear about something here. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I doubted you. I'm sorry I was afraid. I'm sorry I'm sorry. And then begin to this whole long list of confession. Right? It was just God saving. You know God knows the trouble you're in?
Amen.
He doesn't need me to tell him. I mean, yeah, see, he wants me to. He wants me to open up and knock at the times the Lord hears where I am. He knows, and I'm glad. But there are times my prayers if I begin talking about my problems, they will never get to the help me part. Melancholy sometimes is just, God, I need your help. So he reached out for the one who asked. The third thing is, Jesus reached out regardless of the circumstances, and we touched on this a little bit ago. Jesus reached out in the middle of the wind. Jesus reached out in the middle of the waves. He reached out in the middle of their fear, in the middle of them crying out. He reached out in the middle of all of that. The circumstances didn't have to be just perfect for him to still be now able to reach out. And last, I think even more important, was the end result of reaching was not the saving of Peter's life. The end result of the reaching was a realization of the person of Christ. In verse 33. Verse 33, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. So the end result was not just, God, help me out of this. Help me out of the turmoil. Help me out of the not so pleasant circumstances. The end result was, that's the Son. Nicole, we pray here. It seems like, and I don't want to rehash or make up any bad memories. It seems like the last 5+ years it's been one thing right now. Our prayer is, yes, God, help them in this. The end result is, God, help them see you in their life. And some of those storms may be self-inflicted. that's not a judgment on the family. I'm a Christian, and there's times I don't see Christ in marriage. And my problem is so much with it. But they come to the place where those that were in the ship, and I'm going to use something real quick, is they, yes, I mean, truth, thou art the Son of God. Moments earlier, oh no, Jesus is nowhere near. It's a ghost. We're in trouble, and we're crying out, and we're all afraid. And now we see him. He's reached out, and wow, this is the Son of God. Wow. These were his followers. A lot of debate is on the life of Judas Iscariot. But do you realize that Judas Iscariot was in the ship too? The one who Jesus called, and I chose 12, and one of you is a devil. Judas Iscariot was there. And the Bible says that they came to him, and they all worshipped him, and they all said of truth, thou art the Son of God. But just because someone admits to Jesus the Son of God doesn't mean that they're a Christian. Because Satan knows Jesus is the Son of God. But it took collectively their attention off of what they were just fearing, their freedom, and worried about, and putting on. In our prayer, I want people to be physically healed. I want that. Man, how much more is it, God? Are you using this for them to see you, to see your Son? God, I'm going through this, and it's not pleasant. It's not fun. It's bad. Reach out. In the middle of their doubt, in the middle of all their stuff, in the middle of their call, lack of faith, bad faith, poor faith, fear, whatever, you reach out. Maybe you're here and you think, man, my ship is taking water, or I'm sinking, and I need help. Maybe, as a child of God, there's somebody that you know who's sinking, and they're reaching out for somebody. And maybe God has put you in their path, put you in their ocean, put you in their circumstances for you to be the hand to grab, to help them up. Not so they can see you, but just so they can see Christ. So yeah, there's people who care, there's people who love. This guy is growing up in a world that looks different than the world you and I grew up. He's going to feel like he's sinking. That's Isaiah. Isaiah's like a ball of energy. You ever watched Isaiah during the song service? Right? I'm up there, I'm watching, I'm like, Lord, you need to slow down. I'm getting tired just watching you. I can't handle your energy. That vigor and yeah, and in the Wednesday nights it's Isaiah, and he's yeah, he's the Peter, right? He's like, yeah. His life is going to take on water at some point. He's going to begin sinking. That's Isaiah. He's got energy. He's got wow. He's going to be here to extend a hand. If the nature of God is to reach for his creation, to reach for people, and us being children of God, should not our nature be as well to reach?
Yeah.
Not to say, Isaiah, you're such a kid, you're such a boy, such a knucklehead, you know? No. The time is going to come, and he's going to say, his life is hard. Peter, the experienced fisherman, in his element, on the ocean, on the water, in the boat, was like, I am. And Christ was there. It's not just Isaiah. I'm not trying to honestly, I'm sinking. And I ask for help. I don't care who in this room is at hand. I really don't. Please help. God is reaching for you. It's the nature of God. What he's put in us. Father, thank you so much for this account. Thank you for this time is recorded for us in the scriptures of your son reaching out to someone who doubted, to someone who was afraid, and someone who was in the middle of a tough time. He was right where he was supposed to be, he was doing what he was supposed to be doing, and yet he was a little tough.